King, and he came to bring to the world new life and light. What grace is this that brought my Savior down, that made him leave his glorious throne and crown? The one who made the earth, the sky, and sea, who put the stars in every galaxy. What condescension, oh how can it be? What shame he suffered, oh what agony. And then the death he died, for sinners crucified. What grace is this? What grace is this? Boundless grace of God, seen in Christ the Lord, greater than all the sin of men, and it's freely now outpoured. What grace is this that brought my Savior down, that made him leave his glorious throne and crown? The one who made the earth, the sky, and sea, who put the stars in every galaxy. What condescension, oh how can it be? What shame he suffered, oh what agony. And then the death he died, for sinners crucified. What grace is this? What grace is this? Like an ocean deep and wide, like the trackless sky, is God's grace to a fallen race. 'Tis an infinite supply. By his grace we're daily kept as we walk life's way. Someday we will our Savior see. What a wondrous happy day. What grace is this that brought my Savior down, that made him leave his glorious throne and crown? The one who made the earth, the sky, and sea, who put the stars in every galaxy. What condescension, oh how can it be? What shame he suffered, oh what agony. And then the death he died, for sinners crucified. What grace is this? What grace is this?
That's a great song, wasn't it? That's a great song. You know, you don't have to bring in a bunch of drums and guitars and try to work up the presence of God. No man controls the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Talking about the Holy Spirit, that was Jesus who said that. What a man can do is just set the sails and pray, and if the Spirit of God blows, he blows. And I have a full written 6-page message ready to go. Been ready since, been finished, finalized since Thursday. But I didn't choose the opening songs this morning. I didn't choose the opening song I didn't choose the choir song. I chose some of the others. I didn't choose the second song we sang. It just seemed like God moved the direction of peace. Peace. And what better time for God's people to think about that than after all the events of the last 6 days or so. There are a lot of things I'd like to say this morning, but I know I would say them in the flesh. A lot of things. We're in a heap of trouble. I've been here 26 years plus a few weeks. I suppose in that time, maybe four times on a Sunday morning, I have spoken just without notes, just from the hip, because I don't do it that way. But I want to draw your attention this morning for the little time we have left to John chapter 16, and look at verse number. We'll just begin with verse number. We'll just read verse number 33. Let's read verse 32. Now Jesus, this section of John actually begins in chapter 14, where He tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And He tells His disciples, "I've been with you for these 3.5 years, but I'm going away now. I'm going to go to My Father's house, and we'll prepare many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." And He said, "I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." But it troubled the disciples that He was going to be leaving. And you can understand why. They'd been with Him for 3.5 years. They had drawn close to Him. They loved Him, all but Judas. He was the son of perdition, the traitor. And He tells them in chapter 14, 15, and 16 that He's going away. But you know what? It's not all bad news. If I go away, the Father is going to send the Comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. That name Comforter, that word, or that it is a name because it's an uppercase C in your Bible in chapter 14 and chapter 16. It's not proper now talking about the Holy Spirit. Comfort. One called alongside. Boy, you think about that, friend. You know, when you are hurting, if you're physically hurting and you need help, you know, yes, things are, help is a lot more available, more quickly available than it used to be. 911 and all the technology and the advancements that we have in this world today. But there's still a period of time where if you're physically hurt and you need help, you're going to have to wait it out. You understand when you are troubled. Now, I don't mean just about physical hurt. When you're troubled about anything, because the Holy Spirit lives within you, we have, within me, we have instantaneous comfort. Instantaneous help. Instantaneous strength. Instantaneous. We don't have to wait. You know, I've told you, I hope that you'll call us when you go to the hospital. Brent, I found out on Saturday that Dad's been in the hospital since Thursday. Because we like to go to the hospital. Let me rephrase that. We don't like to go to the hospital. You know, we go to the hospital when our members are there to pray with them and talk with them and hopefully maybe share something that'll comfort their hearts. So I want you to call. But there are times when you can't get through. And you say, "Oh, what am I going to do? I can't reach the pastor. I can't reach the church." There's someone a whole lot closer to you than the pastor and the church. And that's the Holy Spirit. And He lives in you. So He's telling them all this. He's going to go away. But when I go away, the Father's going to send the Comforter to you. And He's going to be in you. Now, Jesus was in a physical body. He could only be at one place at one time. Limited to the human body He was in. But Jesus said, when I go away, it's actually going to get better. Because the Holy Spirit's going to come. He can be in you. He can be in everybody at the same time. While we meet here, Brother Oswarty, in troubling times. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, they tried to have a neighborhood Bible time. And the agents, Russian agents, came to the church. KGB. He said, they're gone. You better think again. They came to the church. They interviewed them. Seemed like, you know. But then they signed this law. And Brother Osworth, while we are going through a little bit of tribulation here in the United States of America, he is going through probably a little bit tougher tribulation over there. But you know what, folks? The Holy Spirit didn't have to make a choice. Am I going to help the people in America or am I going to help the people in Russia? The Holy Spirit was everywhere all at the same time. That's why Jesus said it's actually a better thing for you. It's expedient for you if I go away. It's better for you. You're in the process of delivering a baby, and this has happened over the years, and things get a little bit scary. I hope you'll call the pastor, call one of the assistants, call the church. But you know what? You can make a quicker call. And that's the Spirit of God. And so Jesus gets all the way down through this in verse number, at the end of chapter 16, in verse number 32, he says, "Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come. That ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." What's he talking about? Crucifixion. They're right at the doorstep here at the end of chapter 16. Right at the doorstep. In chapter 17, he's going to go pray his priestly prayer in the garden. And then chapter 18, it's on. They come in the garden. They arrest him. So he says, "These things of the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And folks, in the same vein of thinking, you and I are never alone because the Holy Spirit is with us. Brother Jerry, I can't think of anything greater for you on the job as a police officer than the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in your body.
Amen.
Amen. Then he says in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, in who? In Christ, you might have peace." Folks, were you bothered this week? Were you disturbed? Should have been. And since the massacre in Dallas, there have been, what, three or four other incidents? Gaining popularity. I was bothered deep. But I can't stay upon that. I have to stay upon Jehovah. I have to stay upon Christ. "In me ye might have peace." And Jesus went on to say, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." So it's not just a matter of enduring difficult times. The child of God has the potential, has the ability to face times like we're in right now with a cheerful countenance. Not silliness. Not stupidity, but cheer. The same encouragement. The same type thing that the angel told Paul in the belly of that ship, in the midst of that severe storm, Euroclydon, where all the veteran sailors felt danger and they were scared to death. The veteran seamen were scared to death. And in the belly of that ship, the angel of God appeared unto Paul in the night and told him, "Be of good cheer." And Paul went up on that deck and transported that same message to those sailors. And that's a good picture of what the child of God should be in this day and age. Not silly, not immature, not stupid about all the terrible things that are going on in our country. Not, you know, oh, I don't care. It's okay. No, no. We need to be concerned. We need to be cared, but at the, careful. But at the same time, folks, we should exude a countenance that is that has a resource of cheer, because our hearts are not fixed on CNN or Rush Limbaugh or USA Today. Our hearts are fixed on God. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. Fixed on Him. On the Lord Jesus Christ. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now that's not the disciples speaking, that's Christ speaking. I do believe that the lines are going to be more definitively drawn than ever before between the child of God and the lost. And you young people here today, we have no verse that gives us any kind of indication when Jesus will return to this earth and put all of this at an end. Until He does, life goes on. You're going to have to face an uncertain future. And that's why you better anchor into a very certain God. I don't know when it's been more necessary for a young person to be anchored into God than in these days. I mean anchored. I mean anchored. I mean drive the nail deep. Drive it deep. Don't tap it. It comes out. When you drive it in deep, you can't pull it. Anchored in there. So folks, I'm not trying to be silly this morning. I'm not trying to be pseudo-spiritual. I'm not trying to be pious. I'm not trying to be anything. I got a full-length, 6-page message ready to preach that I've read over several times since Thursday. But I can't change the direction of the service that the Spirit of God is trying to take it. And I just think it's good for us to be reminded this morning that in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of turmoil, there's peace for the child of God. But you're going to have to get your mind and heart fixed on the one who gives peace. And that's Jesus Christ. And if there would happen to be somebody in our midst this morning that's not saved, that's lost without Christ, there is no peace apart from Him. None. And I would encourage you to turn your heart to the Lord Jesus, who died, was buried, and rose again so that you could be saved from your sin and enjoy the victory, the peace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know why we've gone this direction this morning, but that's the direction we went. And that's what I want to say. Let's bow our heads together and close our eyes. I'm going to ask the pianist to come onto the platform, to the instruments. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you're not saved, then I don't know what you're waiting for. This is the time. This is the moment. This is the place. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning. Tell one of these men, I need to be born again. If you're here to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, now's the time for you to come while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And Brother Scott and Linda are coming. And that would be wonderful. But maybe you're saved and you're already baptized. And I don't know, maybe throughout the course of the direction of this service this morning, maybe it was through one of the songs. Maybe it's not been national trouble that has caused your unrest this week. Maybe you've been facing some physical difficulties or financial difficulties or difficulties at work, or maybe there's a relationship issue. Your heart's troubled. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you know, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Maybe you've had your thoughts fixed on the wrong source. Maybe our thoughts need to be fixed. Your thoughts need to be fixed on God, on His Word, on the Spirit of God. that lives in you and is instantaneously available to comfort and to cheer your heart because of Christ. If that's you this morning, you want to use the altar to pray a little bit, and just kneel, come by yourself, come with your spouse, come with whatever you want to do. But I trust that you'll be obedient to the Lord this morning, whatever the Spirit of God said to your heart throughout the course of this service, this very unusual service this morning, that God would use it to meet some need in the heart that needs it most this morning. So, Father, for these last 61 a little plus minutes, we've just kind of tried to follow your leadership. We didn't plan this. I pray for our youth. I pray, God, that you'll help them to be anchored into the Lord Jesus as never before. I pray for our college age. I pray for our young couples, our middle age and elderly couples. I pray, Lord, for those in this room who have had a difficult week with some kind of a problem or troubling matter. I pray that this morning, through all the good music and these brief comments from John 16, that God, our hearts will be fixed upon the Lord Jesus. In Him, we can be of good cheer. In Him, we have hope. In Him, we have assurance. In Him, we have comfort. Thank you for it this morning. Please draw us closer to you, I pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And ladies, find that song, Draw Me Nearer, Nearer, Precious Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Maybe the Lord He tried to use this service this morning to draw you a little bit nearer than you have been. So as the ladies are prepared to play that in just a moment, let's stand together, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and let's play the invitation song. If you want to come this morning, if you need to come, you come for whatever reason.